head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And what a great Rusty Satellite Show I have planned for you today. This is Rick Redding, your host on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville, one of whom happens to be in the studio with me today. Marianne, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's Marianne in the afternoon.
Marianne in the afternoon. Yeah, I like that.
Most people are used to Marianne in the morning. You have this great show on ArtX FM. Where do people find that?
ArtXFM.com, streaming live, and we are also on the FM 97.1.
Actually on the air. That's pretty cool. I've listened to that several times. It's a great great show in the morning, and it's like only an hour, though, right? You're only on an
very
hour.
Very fast. I wake you up, give you the important info, and send you on your way.
Get out. Yeah.
So now we can take a deeper dive. It's the afternoon.
Come on in and get out. All right. So that's among the many things you do. Later in the show, we're going to talk about this great thing you're involved in this weekend called Seinfeldia. And, you know, I'm like a Seinfeld guru, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, a guru.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit of Festivus for the rest of us then.
That's right. I guess we should throw in some Seinfeld isms during the show. But the business of the show is... You know, the great thing, I have sponsors, and I'm very grateful to have Passport Health Plan as my original sponsor on this show, and also the Eye Care Institute, which is down on Story Avenue. Marianne, you need probably to make an appointment at 502-589-1500 if you were in the market for, like, LASIK.
I need some LASIK.
You need some?
Or I do.
You need to call them. They got very friendly LASIK professionals down there, and would be glad to help you. They've also been doing a lot of work with dry eye disease. I don't know if you ever get, you know, with the allergies in the area, you get scratchy eyes and
yes,
all that.
Yes, it's rough.
Yeah. Well, they have professionals down there. They just did a seminar this week, and they have the answer. So if you're having a problem like that, you ought to get in touch with the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue. So anyway, those are our sponsors. Now, I have two great guests this week in addition to you, Mary. Do you have a dentist?
I don't.
You've got to go see Dr. Sean Moore. He's the coolest dentist in town.
Yeah?
Yeah, he really is. And I had Dr. Moore on the show. I was in there, and he told me that he had opened up a new practice in, believe it or not, St. Kitts.
Really?
Yeah, and I offered to go down and carry his bags for him.
I'd be more than happy to do that.
No,
sure.
On one of the trips. Can you imagine being a hygienist in that office and knowing that, you know, every once in a while one of them has to go down there with him?
Yeah. I feel like he may need a translator of sorts or a concierge. I can help with that.
Well, you can get in touch with him out there at More Smiles. It's at Taylorsville Road and Stony Brook Drive. I've been going to him for years and years and years. And finally sat him down in his office and had a conversation with him about a lot of stuff. And I'm sure you're going to tune in to see that. That's my first interview. And secondly, we've got a great guy, a Metro councilman, Bill Hollander, on the show. And you know Bill.
I'm a big fan of Bill.
Okay.
Well, love Bill. That district. He's Preservation district?
Yeah. Well, he's a good liberal and all that. And so
good things going on.
I wanted
on.
To ask him about this so-called war on Louisville that's going on in Frankfort. And had a great conversation with him about that. And, you know, it's something to be concerned about. These you know, I don't know where you stand on this, but everything these Republicans, now that they're in power, everything they're doing worries me, concerns me.
You're a little apprehensive, are you?
I'm a little nervous. So the first thing they wanted to do was like they wanted the governor to be the guy who appoints the new mayor if something happens to the mayor. And they wanted to take all this power out of local. And the thing that Bill talks to me about in the interview is the fact that all this new legislation is being generated by these, he didn't say this, but I will, these hick legislators out in the state, and they're making decisions about what's going on here in Louisville. Maybe we should secede. You think we could get out of Kentucky?
You know, I feel like sometimes when you look at the map, Louisville and Lexington do seem a little bit out of sorts, so maybe we should band together and, yeah, annex ourselves.
I just want to get away from all those people out in the state who think the way they think, and which is not the way I think in most cases. So, you know, it's a big issue, and I was really glad to get to talk to Hollander because he's a smart guy. He's
pragmatic.
I
like that.
He's a lawyer. He knows what he's talking about, and he's divided. You know, unlike some of those other Metro councilmen, this is his only gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is just focused on doing the right thing for Louisville and the Metro Council. He's not got to go off, and he's not continuing to be a lawyer. And
a lot of people don't know that. That is an interesting fact about our Metro Council. All 26 of them, they don't just do their councilperson work. A lot of them are attorneys, a nurse. You know, there are several people that have other jobs in that effect. So they do have to compartmentalize their time, and that, you know, may or may not affect the decision making going on in our community.
Surprised it's not been a campaign issue in some of those campaigns. He won, by the way, back in 2014 over 13 rivals to get that seat. So
That was quite the race.
He said he knocked on more than 5,000 doors, and that's how he won. You know,
basically. He's proven his dedication, I think.
Yeah, he certainly has. So Marianne, we're going to get on with the show. We're going to have my interview with Dr. Sean Moore up next, and then you and I are going to be back and talk some talk about nothing. Show about nothing.
Yes, I got to make an eye appointment, so that's yeah, that's good.
You do that.
We'll fix our teeth later.
There you go.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, "Sign up for Passport," and I was like, "Mom." She was like, "For my peace of mind." It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is at my dentist, and I'm happy about it because I'm with Dr. Sean Moore. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this for a long time. I don't know how many years I've been coming to you as a dentist, but it's been a while, right?
It's been quite a few years, and I'm excited about this opportunity to get together and do this.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. I was very interested. One of the last times I was here, you were telling me about your new practice, and it's not right down the street, is it?
It's not right down the street. It's in the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis,
okay,
which is about a three-hour flight from Miami, Florida, down into the West Indies. And it is a beautiful tropical paradise. My office is actually on the island of Nevis.
Okay.
And the people are amazing. It is just a wonderful culture and a place that just in the last 6 months since I began this, have fallen in love with.
Wow.
It's just wonderful.
So all the dental hygienists around here are vying to get to go down there to that office with you, right?
Well, I have taken a couple of staff members with me. And yes, there seems to be some excitement in going down.
Yeah. So it's quite a place.
Right now, I'm going once a month. I still haven't figured it all out.
Okay.
I'm certainly not going to retire or leave this practice
in
any time in the even distant future, probably. But it is it's quite a getaway. The need for care there is incredibly great. I've done mission trips for a number of years in a lot of places around the world, and that really kind of prepared me to be able to take on kind of a seemingly wild adventure.
Right, and I know you've told me about some of your mission trips to places where dental care is non-existent, but this is a business decision, right?
This is a business decision, yes. But it's certainly out of the box in terms of the standards and the equipment and the facilities, and everything there is just much different. The Caribbean operates much differently, much slower pace. It's quite an
so you go
adventure.
Down there for for a week and you see patients all that time. There's so it's closed when you're not there, I guess.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your practice here a little bit then, because a lot of people are familiar with your building. It's right on the corner of Stony Brook and Taylorsville Road. And how long have you been here?
I did this location about 8 years ago. This was a Hollywood Video building, and I think we've been in this office 8 years. Incidentally, we were next door in another little strip center just across Stony Brook, and seemingly nobody noticed us as much then. But now in this standalone location, we get quite a bit of attention, which is great.
Well, the thing that's always impressed me when I come here is your emphasis on and attention to technology advances in the industry. You seem to be a guy that really likes you're a what do they call it? First adopter, right?
Yeah, I do kind of consider myself an early adopter, if you will. That has proven to be really good and sometimes really bad. It's sometimes a costly education. I've gotten on board with some high tech, expensive things that work really well, and the quality is there. and I've done the same thing, and the quality isn't there, and the technology's not quite there yet. So as a patient, it's hard to be discerning because sometimes things are marketed well and sound better than they really are. So it's really sorting through, maintaining that quality focus, and really trying to treat patients like I would want to be treated, knowing what I know.
Sure. And yeah, it's always impressed me, you know, it's not just about your teeth when you come in here, because you ask all these questions about my health and what else is going on in my life. And even more recently, we talked about sleeping and trouble I had sleeping. So I guess the role of the dentist is expanding, or at least in your case.
Well, it certainly should be. You know, the standard of care has really increased in recent years. There's so much to be concerned about, and I tell patients oftentimes your mouth really is connected to the rest of your body. It's hot, dark, and wet in there, so there's a bacterial issue. The inflammatory response of your body is a big deal in all of healthcare and in total health and wellness. And that's really what we try to focus on, is total health and wellness for our patients. We used to have a slogan that said, more smiles. Great smiles, better health. And the reason we talk about that so much is there are a lot of health impacts. You mentioned sleep, and that's one really significant thing that we can help our patients with. Now, we take a little bit of a different approach. A lot of people snore or may, in fact, have some obstructive sleep apnea. Our goal is not to just make a sleep appliance for someone. It's to make sure we're educating, we're discussing those issues. We work really closely with some ear, nose, and throat physicians in the city. We're not committed to just making sure we keep people in-house. We want to work together with other healthcare providers to make sure the patients get the best care and what's right for them right from the start.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I went to see one of those specialists for snoring, and you know, I certainly gained a lot of information about what's going on with my health. And you know, who would have thought that would come from the dentist? I did. But you know, in my situation, and I'm sure it's the same with a lot of people, dental insurance coverage is always confusing. I've had it and felt like it wasn't any good, and then I've not had it, and right now I don't have it. I'm still coming here. You accommodate people in all sorts of insurance situations, I guess.
We really do, and insurance, unfortunately, is challenging in healthcare and with dentistry alike. It oftentimes doesn't cover very much dentally. You know, most patients on average have still only $1,000 or $1,500 a year. That was kind of the amount set in the 70s when dental insurance became kind of the thing. And the amounts of coverage annually still really haven't gone up. And insurance companies are smart. They're a for-profit entity, so they don't roll that benefit over. So if you don't go to the dentist every year, and it's been several years, and now all of a sudden you need a lot of work, you still only get that $1,000 or $1,500 to spend. What we pride ourselves on is doing the right thing and then doing it really well. I often tell people when they're in discounted insurance networks, let's say, you know, being really aggressive in a treatment approach and doing something maybe that isn't necessary for a reduced fee isn't saving you money. It's important to take a conservative approach, be thorough and comprehensive in that approach, and do only what has to be done. People have thought it strange at times when I say the best dental care is none at all. But you want to take preemptive action. You want to be focused on prevention. And you want to do the easy things so that you avoid the major things. You know, it's interesting. I treat lots of people for TMJ issues, and many people have chronic headaches or tension headaches, and they explain it away as a sinus problem from living in the Ohio Valley. And certainly a case can be made for that frequently, but there are lots of issues that, again, tie back to health care and quality of life and total health and wellness that people are just completely unaware of. And you see sometimes patients go down these rabbit trails, spending lots of money on pharmaceuticals and different approaches that maybe aren't even what they need. And again, that's where coming back, even with my TMJ issues and those headaches and myofascial pain issues, it comes back to working with some other medical specialist to make sure everybody's looking at that patient and we're thorough for the patient's benefit.
Okay. And I'm sure you have I'm just curious about the pattern of people. Like, I seem to run into friends and say, oh, man, I need to go to the dentist. I haven't been in 10 years or whatever. I mean, do you see a lot of folks that that have neglected, I guess, going to the dentist for years?
It really is a common thing. And there's several reasons it's so common. You alluded to one earlier with cost being an issue. Mm-hmm. That's certainly part of it. But more often than not, it's bad dental experiences in the past that have just...
It hurts.
Yeah. I mean, people have had bad experiences. And so we talk all the time about the fact that we're not here to judge you. You know, people come in frequently and say, it's been years since I've been to the dentist. Maybe I've never been.
Yeah.
And we say, look, we're here to help you from this point forward. We're not here to judge what you've not done in the past. So we're committed to helping people get access to care and whatever that looks like. You know, we do a lot of conscious sedation in our office. Mm-hmm. And the reason is those bad dental experiences stay with you, unfortunately. So oftentimes the first thing I do is say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you ever had that experience. We're going to do everything we can to make this a comfortable, tolerable experience so that you're not reliving what has happened to you in the past.
Well, I know you sold my son Luke on coming here with the laughing gas. So, you know, just start loading that stuff in as soon as we get here.
He does not mind going to the dentist now quite as much, but laughing gas is just the beginning of what we offer. Right. We have patients that have complex procedures done that don't remember seeing me at all. And for many people, I oftentimes tell patients it should give me a complex when the people that like me most don't remember me. But again, it's just historically what has happened to people in dental care. And then oftentimes they beat themselves up and think, oh, I should be able to do this. I should just suck it up and go. And traumatic experiences just don't lend itself
to
that.
Come back.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I have all these bad memories of my childhood of going to the dentist as well. So good. Well, I'm glad that you know, people know there's a place now that you can go and it's not going to hurt, and it's you're going to do the right thing. So you've been doing this for some time now. How long have you been a dentist?
I have been doing this now for 18 years.
Wow.
Time has really flown by. I remember when I started talking to dentists that were older and mentors of mine, and you know, at the 25 or 30 year mark, I would think, how on earth have you been doing this all this time?
Yeah.
And now I've discovered one day at a time, and it flies. Time just flies
by. Well, if you buy practices in tropical paradises, it makes it go by easier, I guess. Well, why Louisville? Are you from here? Or?
I have moved around quite a bit. I've been back in Louisville now for about 25 years. I grew up in southern Indiana in Jeffersonville, and I then left for a few years, went into the military, moved around a good bit, but I have always considered the Louisville area home. My wife is from here, born and raised, never departed. So that's a good reason for me to stay, right, as many guys do. But I absolutely love it here. I mean, this is home to me, always will be. It's fun to go to a Caribbean island and see patients and live that life. But Louisville's a wonderful place to live and raise a family.
All right. Well, Dr. Moore, I know I've got to come back in here again very soon, so I'm sure I'll see you. But thanks for being on the show. I'm really glad to have you.
Rick, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm Marianne Zicker, your co-host for this wonderful episode. And I would like to say thank you to my good friend Rick Redding for having me here in the studio. Aww. I'm very happy to be on in the afternoon. You know, being a morning host on the radio is sometimes a little harsh.
That's tough. How early you got to get up?
You know, I'm usually up and at it by 6.
Wow.
6. I got to check in. Weather, traffic. You need to be in the know.
You prepare then.
I have
you
to.
You prepare for your show.
Okay, I do.
Well, that's a smart thing to do.
I need people to be informed.
Well, what do? You play music? You talk about the weather? You know, that kind of thing?
I like to get people started, you know, usually with a little bit of a slow beat. Just get people going little by little. And then, yeah, by the end of the
You're
hour.
Not jarring them awake.
We can't jar them awake, but okay. We do get them moving and give them that important information that they need to know. I usually let them know about important events, things that I'm doing out there in the community. I tend to know a lot of folks in the arts, so it's a good thing. But
that's the same thing I do.
Right?
You know, we're just alike.
We are two peas in a pod. That's and why you've had me back so much, right?
I know. And you've been on this show before more than once, which is really special. You were among the first 10 or 15 shows
yes.
you were a guest. And that was fun.
And then you brought me back. What was it, around 100 shows?
Yeah. We were on with your friend Lauren Argo, who's very cool, right? I love her.
You know I love the artists.
Yeah, she's got, what's her show called?
La La Land.
La La Land. They named a movie after that show.
They sure did.
Wow.
She should get some rights on that.
Yeah, she should. She ought to look into that.
As her agent, I'll figure that out.
She ought to get a lawyer.
I'll work on that.
Because I don't know where that movie got off.
You're the one with all the contacts, though. We've got to talk about this. You've got this passport we need to talk about. I need that. I need some eye care, some LASIK.
I don't have a car sponsor, but I understand you need a car.
Yes, I would like one of those, too. Right. Yeah,
Car dealers out there, get in touch with me. If you sponsor the show, Marianne will buy a car from you.
Yeah, they can wrap it. We'll put your face on the side of the car. I'll drive around in a Rusty Satellite show car.
Well, I have one. You know, I have graphics on the back of my car. So, you know, you could have one of those. So that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, I want to ask you about, let's move on to like Seinfeldia,
please,
which is happening this Saturday at the Jewish Community Center. And, you know, I can't imagine what that's going to be like.
You know, I'm pretty excited because the Jewish Community Center has been kind of known for their cultural arts programming. They do some of the best musicals and plays in town. And I've been able to be a part of that, which has been quite exciting. But they have brought me on. They decided to keep me on staff. And now,
yay.
I know, right?
You needed another job.
Well, you know, number four, just add it to the list. But, you know, hanging out with such a great crowd of people over at the J has been really welcoming and gratifying, too. So I'm creating kind of a new segment to what they do at the J, which is bringing in kind of multidimensional programming where we can put together many different sides of the arts. And in this particular program, we started out with the idea of Seinfeld. It's an iconic show. Many generations know it, and we're still talking about it
years. Who are you bringing in for this thing?
So we've got two different sides to this one. We're focusing on literature. We've got a New York Times best-selling author, Jennifer Armstrong.
Okay.
She took a very deep dive, a backstage tour, if you will, into how did Seinfeld come about? How did this show about nothing change everything? So she's very, very interesting to listen to, everything that she did to research. You know, you're kind of getting that insider's view into what, you know, those four cast members were like to be together so much. And we are very lucky. I don't know if you knew this, but we have an Emmy Award-winning composer right here in the city of Louisville.
Right, the guy behind the music.
Jonathan Wolf.
How's that go? Can you do that? Don't.
We'll get the Seinfeld. We'll get that musical cue in there for the, in the edits. But
I'm
he also wrote Seinfeld's music. He wrote Will and Grace's music. So he's won a lot of Emmys, a lot of awards, and he's right here in Louisville. He loves the J, supports us.
Wow.
So he's going to play some music, Twinkle the Ivories. We're going to have this great author. The best part of it, if that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Is that the venue is Theater
Marble
Marketplace.
Rye. No.
Theater Marketplace on 4th Street.
Oh,
what a cool place to be, right?
They'll have some of that rye bread.
We're going to be downtown. The chef there is new, and when I brought him this idea, he was a Seinfeld fan.
Ah, cool.
Immediately took to it. So we're having all types of Seinfeld noms. We are going to have mini pies, mini calzones, black and white cookies, maybe even some Junior Mints. And if you guys out there, if you're a fan, you know what that's about. And we're going to have mango signature cocktails.
All right, man, that sounds great. I hope I get invited. I tell you what, I've been wanting to, I have a great Seinfeld story.
Yeah.
That won't take that long to tell. But back in those days, you're talking about when the show was created, you know, the first few years, the ratings were not good and it almost got canceled. It was really tough. And here in Louisville, it was like 1992 and it was on Wave TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the program director down there. Well, Wave at the time kept I found out about the show and I saw the premiere and I immediately just loved it and wanted to see it every week, but the damn UK basketball kept preempting the show.
Oh, the sports balls.
And because back then they didn't like give a shit about, like, they didn't have like three digital channels, and they didn't move it somewhere else. They didn't. They just said, "Hey, tough luck. You didn't get to see. It got preempted this week." So I made a deal with the program director down there, and I got videotapes of the show that they recorded off NBC back when, you know, there wasn't internet was not even around then. So, you know, it was funny.
Rick Redding, see how important you are.
Yeah, I know.
I said, people.
Man, I've got some pull. I got this person to
he makes things happen.
To do that. So anyway, I saw all those and have been a fan all the time. So yeah, that sounds like a great event.
So you Theater celebrate Festivus and everything?
Just like the rest of us, yeah. it's all cool. So how do you get in if you want to go?
You get in by buying a ticket. And they are going fast, so I would encourage you to go ahead and do that soon. But JewishLouisville.org/Seinfeldia, that's where all the info is. We're also selling tickets at the door. What's pretty cool, though, is that I created a VIP experience for this. So you can come, get the Seinfeld noms and drinks, or you can get the VIP experience, which means you get priority seating, and we're doing a meet and greet with both Jonathan and Jennifer before the show.
Wow.
So that's actually going to be pretty cool. There's going to be some special events that go on with that, too.
Okay, so tell people how much it costs.
It's $28 at the door, $36 for a VIP seat.
Okay.
And like I said, all that Seinfeld exclusive fun comes along with that.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
And I'm going to be there. I mean, I feel like that's an extra pull.
Yeah, you ought to throw that in. I'm sure that's in the benefits.
Rick,
listing.
Can you come? Are you going to be there?
I might.
Okay. Well, I feel like that's going to pull some tickets right there.
Yeah.
Our networks alone.
If people come to see me, that would be something. But you know, I get around a lot. You know, that now we know everybody's going to Seinfeldy. I had a big week last week. I'm doing this restaurant and dining show, this restaurant show about dining and drinking called eDrinkTalk.net.
I have got to be you when I grow up. Honestly, everything you do is just a different, like, food group of life.
So I gained about 15 pounds last week. I'll tell you what I did. I started, had four big calorie-inducing events. The Tailspin Ale Fest.
Yes.
The Taste of 502 at the Sealback. Yeah, a lot of drinking. And I went to Das Meal, which our friend Caroline Knopp helped organize out in Shelbyville. And then, of course, the Gravy Cup on Saturday.
I had a gravy baby after that. I mean,
you went?
That Gravy Cup. Because, see, you start out, and it's so good that you're like, yeah, and they're giving you these, I mean, semi-large portions. Yeah. And then by the end, you're like, I can't even, I've tried 32 different types of biscuits and gravy. I'm going to need these portions to be smaller. Yeah, but it's so good.
Yeah, I didn't eat the entire next day, the entire day. That was it.
Yeah, I didn't eat for like 48 hours. And what's funny, I don't know about you, and tell me what you thought about the winner, but the winner was the very first one I tried. And I remember loving it. And I think that's what kind of propelled me to keep eating more, thinking that I'd find others. And there were definitely others that I liked, but that first one right out the gate for me.
Well, that was awesome. That was Reed Johnson with Red Barn Kitchen. And a lot of the guys who made the gravy, number one, they don't serve that dish in their restaurant. So it's a special treat for them. And there are a lot of the guys and girls that have been on the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast that we do. It's just like this one, except I do it with Steve Coombs, our co-host, and it's really cool. This week on the show, I always like to tell my Rusty Satellite audience to go listen to that show, too. I had this cool guy named Jeff Faith. You know him?
I don't.
He is a musician. He's in the arts. You know, you should know him. He plays with Hickory Vaught and, you know, a lot of guys around, all over town. He plays a stand-up bass.
Love that.
He's really cool. But the reason we had him on the show, he is the owner of the Fair's Beer name.
Yes.
Which is a traditional beer that was brewed until 1964 right here in Louisville. And he's brought it back. So
I love it.
That's something for Eat, Drink, Talk, isn't it?
That warms my preservation heart.
There you go. So anyway, a lot of times I talk in this portion of the show about people who have been on the Rusty Satellite Show. So we can talk about people. You like talking about people, right?
Love it.
Oh, it's great. Anyway, so some things that are going on around town associated with those people, like, you know, they're winding down the Monkey Wrench. It's closing soon.
I know. No, how sad.
Well, it is sad. But at the Das Meal event last week, I saw Bridget Kalen, and she told me about the show she's doing at the Monkey Wrench on Saturday night. And it's the last shindig.
The big hurrah.
The big hurrah, at least for her. I think there's some more shows at the Monkey Wrench after that, but that's her last show. And so she's gotten a bunch of friends and going to the Monkey Wrench. And so, unfortunately, you'll be at Seinfeldia.
I will be.
What a dilemma of things to do.
But I do support Bridget, and I adore her, so I do think music fans get out there.
Well, another thing you support that's just getting started, the Humana Festival of New American Plays.
Oh, my gosh. Can we talk about that for just a minute?
We can talk about that. Because I'm going Friday night to
I Now Pronounce. Well, then I will be your house manager, sir.
Oh, wow.
I will make sure you get VIP treatment.
I hope I get managed well.
We have already had our red carpet party for the Humana kickoff. Things are ramping up. Shows are already in rehearsal. I don't know if some of your listeners, they may or may not, maybe they do know because they're super cultured, but the Humana Festival is actually a six-week period of time where Actors Theater of Louisville does almost a season of shows within 6 weeks. So usually you're doing a show at a time. One at a time, so you focus. So you do that every 6 weeks or so. And then for Humana, we do like six at once.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's, well, it's a little crazy.
My audience knew all that, but it's good to remind them.
I mean,
occasionally
it's a great
what's
time.
What's going on there? I'm really looking forward to this first one that I'm going to see. Crazy story. And you know, this only happens when you do something stupid. But I thought I'd been taken off the Actors Theater media mailing list because I hadn't gotten anything for a while. I said, no, Humana Festival is coming up. Why haven't I gotten stuff? I guess I got kicked off the list. So I called the nice young lady, Sarah, who runs the thing over there, and she said, no, we've been sending out. Well, my email was sort of screwed up, and I'd missed all the invitations to the opening party and all that. But
you know, these are the best parties, dear.
I know.
You must get to the parties.
I usually go, and I missed this one. But Friday night, going to see.
I Now Pronounce.
Is that going to be any good?
I have seen parts of rehearsal as things are loading in to the theater, because we are loading into the large Pamela Brown right now.
Yeah.
And also a show into the Bingham. And what I've seen is really great. You know, I don't know if people. Because I didn't know, and I think I'm pretty kind of into the arts here, but until I worked at Actors, I didn't realize everyone says, yes, they're a Tony Award-winning theater, but the Humana Festival in and of itself is the most respected New American Play Festival in the world.
Wow.
And many of these plays, there's been over 400 of them, and many of them have gone on to have extended runs, go to other regional theaters. People are winning, you know, Obies and huge awards, and yet we saw it here first.
Yeah.
So
that's
I
really
love
cool. I have this dream. I haven't told you about my son, Nick, who's studying theater over at Academia dell'Arte in Italy. And I have this dream that he's going to come back and run plays at the Humana Festival. And I think, actually, I believe that it will happen.
Well, it sounds like he's on his way.
Yeah, he's doing what he has to do to get there. So
tell him he's got a connection.
Yeah.
I'll get him in.
We can. I keep trying to help him with stuff. He says, Dad, you know, I'm fine. Never mind.
He's a professional thespian, Dad.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't need me. So anyway, unlike your show, we can't go on all day here.
Right. We have to focus.
We have to wrap this up and move on to my interview with Bill Hollander, your favorite Metro councilman. Although whose district you live in?
I'm actually in Marianne's district.
Marianne Butler.
Yes, I'm over in Marianne Butler's district because I feel like I'm one of those early adopters and people, you know, the new cool hip neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know, Germantown, it's done its thing, right? People are like, hey, Portland's kind of cool. Let's go west. I'm going to say right here on Rusty Satellite Show, South Central.
That's the place to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you did hear it here first. That's something that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
That was the up and coming. I actually
Wilder Park, Beachmont, Iroquois, these neighbors, they're coming up.
I grew up there.
So then, of course.
I grew up right near Iroquois Manor.
The heritage of cool is already there.
Yeah, that's right. And so anyway, I moved out a few years ago, like 30. But anyway, it's still a cool place.
It still feels your impact.
Where I lived, it would have been Dan Johnson's district. And
Councilman Dan.
Nobody's proud of that. No one is proud of that. So anyway, but Bill Hollander, if you live in Bill Hollander's district, you're proud of that. You got to be proud of him. He's a former lawyer, 30 years as an attorney. He started out, he told me later, in radio, believe it or not. Yeah.
Fun fact.
And figured out you can't make any money doing this and became a lawyer.
Smart guy.
And
what are we doing?
And had a great career as an attorney and decided when he was retiring from the Wyatt Law Firm that he would run for office and become a Metro councilman. He's gone in full bore. He's already the Democratic caucus chairman and is fighting the good fight for all of us Democrats over there. So anyway, I think you'll enjoy the interview, and Marianne and I are going to be back to close the show right after that. Stay tuned.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is back in the Metro Council Chambers. I'm with the Democratic Caucus Chair and District 9 Councilman Bill Hollander. Welcome to the show.
Very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, these seem like tough times for liberals. I guess District 9 is probably the most liberal district in the city. And we're going through Republicans being in power, and they're trying to do a lot of things that would upset Democrats and liberals, right?
Well, I don't know about that. You know, I think that we continue to talk about progressive things, and you know, there are a lot of good things happening in the city. I do think we have to be concerned in any blue city about what might happen to policies based on a state that has become exclusively red in terms of the governor and the House and the Senate. And that's not unique to Kentucky. That's happened all over the country. We have some pretty bad examples of that in North Carolina, for example, mm-hmm. Where all the protections for LGBTQ people that were passed in Charlotte were taken away. It's referred to as a bathroom bill, but it was actually much bigger than that. And as a result of that, there's been severe economic consequences for North Carolina.
Right.
You know, we're going to have the ACC baseball tournament in Louisville this year because of what they did in North Carolina. So we thank them.
Yeah, I was really grateful. I saw Jeff Hoover speak a few weeks ago and the Republican leader, and at least he said there's going to be no bathroom bill in Kentucky.
Well, that's right, and that's good. And we hope that they will, in Frankfurt, continue to focus on economic issues, on moving the state forward. We are the economic engine of the state, and so we think it's very important that it remain very competitive. And a lot of what we're doing in the community makes us competitive and helps us be competitive. And frankly, that helps everyone in the state. So we hope that Frankfurt continues to think that way.
Well, you hope to, but this governor is obviously doing things that I know that you object to. Let's start with some of those issues. Let's talk about some of those issues that Frankfurt seems to be sort of meddling in Louisville's business, I would say.
Well, there have been some bills that I've been pretty vocal about that are still working their way through the General Assembly. The first one was the proposal really to redo the governing statute for Louisville. That has gotten a lot better as it's gone through the process. It
the
began,
crazy proposal that the governor would select the new mayor, right?
That's right. And Metro Council and Metro Council members. So six times since the Metro Council has been in existence, there's been a vacancy on Metro Council. And all six of those have been handled very well by the Metro Council without going to the governor to say, you know, who do you think ought to be on the Metro Council in Louisville? That just seemed like a crazy proposal to me. I think it seemed like a crazy proposal to most people in Louisville. The same thing with the mayor. If there's a vacancy in the mayor's position, you know, we think folks in Louisville ought to fill that position, not folks who are not from Louisville. So,
sure.
That has been taken out of the bill now, and I think it's been taken out of the bill because people in Louisville objected. And so it's important, I think, that people in Louisville continue to, you know, to pay attention and to speak up when they see something that they think is really, really not right. I've been concerned about a bill. It's House Bill 246, which deals with how we handle waste in Jefferson County. I'm told it has some very bad provisions for how we handle waste throughout the state and could cause some really very much unintended consequences. But in Jefferson County, among the things it would do is reverse the ban on plastic bags for yard waste unless it is reenacted by a newly constituted board and then by Metro Council, and it would also need to be reenacted by each suburban cities. We have over 80, or else it wouldn't be applicable in those cities. And this again is it just seems to me it's a solution in search of a problem. I mean, we changed this 2 years ago. It was before I was in office. But it's been
kind of gotten used to it.
It's been pretty universally accepted. It's well over 95% people complying with the rule. You know, I think that what we did before was a little bit deceptive. I always put, and a lot of people did, they put their yard waste out, their leaves in plastic bags on recycling day, and they thought they were recycling. But they weren't being recycled. They all went to the landfill. And we didn't tell people that. We just continued to do that. Well, eventually we told people that and said, you know, if you put your leaves in plastic bags, they can't be recycled into mulch. They end up in the landfill. And finally just stopped that practice. And I think I've been in office for 2 years and 3 months, and I don't think anybody, and I mean this literally, I don't believe that anyone has complained to me about the plastic bag and yard waste issues. So why we would go to Frankfurt and have people who are not from Louisville pass a bill that reverses that just makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
That's happened with a number of bills in Frankfurt. If you look at the bills that are focused on Louisville, most of them have passed over the objections of the elected representatives and senators who live in Louisville.
Right.
So think about that. Who should make decisions about Louisville? Well, I would say it's the people who the folks from Louisville elect. Well, not people who are elected from other parts of the state.
I certainly agree with you. Let's talk about another topic that certainly the governor has called the Jefferson County Public School System an unmitigated disaster. Where does that come from? What's he want to do? I mean, I know they've got a neighborhood schools proposal on the table that's passed at least one body.
Yeah, I think that's very concerning. And I guess what I really think about that, again, I think that local control is important. I mean, everybody in Jefferson County gets an opportunity to vote for their school board member. I voted for one last year. I don't know if yours was up last year, but it'll be up soon. We all get to vote. Those people are all elected by the people in Jefferson County. And so to me, to have the state representatives, and again, that's another bill that was passed in the House with votes from outside Jefferson County. The Jefferson County delegation in Frankfort voted against that bill. So you're having policy for Jefferson County schools being made by people who don't live in Jefferson County, and that just seems, frankly, undemocratic to me. I think we ought to be very careful about that. We can certainly make some improvements in the Jefferson County schools. We all know that. But I think they ought to be made by people who live in Jefferson County, and really they ought to be made by the elected school board. You know, that was a very interesting debate, and I watched some of that. We had a state representative from Versailles, James Kay, who stood up and said he was sort of confused that the people elect him to come and make policy for Kentucky, but increasingly, day by day, he's making policy for Jefferson County, and that's not what the people in Versailles sent him to do. And yeah. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Well, a lot of it's, you know, it's all about we're the economic engine. So it would be nice, I guess, from my point of view, asking you if you agree, that they focus on some business issues, economic issues. Certainly we've seen this these newly elected people in Frankfurt talk about social issues. Their agenda seems to be abortion, getting Bibles in schools, teaching Bible in classrooms. I don't know where you think they're getting off doing that. I mean, what do you think is any of that going to make it?
Well, I don't know. I agree with you. What I hope is that we really focus on things that can help move the state forward and move Louisville forward. And let's be clear, there are things that Frankfort could do to help us. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we are spending, the Metro Council appropriated an enormous amount of money last year for our roads and for repaving, and we all know that that can be vastly improved. We appropriated, I think it was $22 million, much more than in any year. But, you know, when you go to the gas station to fill up your tank, you pay a gasoline tax. And not enough of that gasoline tax comes back to urban areas like Jefferson County. It's sure. It's been a formula that has favored rural areas forever. I'd love to see Frankfort work on that.
Yeah.
Let's there get some of that money, more of that money, back to Jefferson County. We have a heroin epidemic in the community. That's somewhat statewide, but we certainly know it's very severe here. You know, Metro Council's appropriated a lot of money to the Healing Place to build more beds because they're turning away people every day. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Frankfort work on that. Help us solve the heroin problem in this community. We have vacant and abandoned properties in the community that state law makes it very difficult for us to deal with. Let's really buckle down in Frankfort and help us change some of those state laws that will, that can help a lot. So I think there are things that Frankfort can do, and I wish they'd focus on those.
There you go. Well, before we run out of time here, I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. You came to the Metro Council. You were an attorney.
I did. I moved to Louisville in 1984, and I knew no one in the community. I was recruited by a large law firm here, and practiced at that firm for 30 years. I was the managing partner of it. It was the Wyatt Law Firm. And still is the Wyatt Law Firm. I practiced as the managing partner for the last 7 years, and then decided that I really wanted to do something a little different with whatever time I have left. And so I wanted it to be a little more civic, and so we got a new managing partner. Everything was all in place, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. 3 weeks before I was stepping down and retiring from the firm, my predecessor said, "I'm not running." Surprised me very much. I'd worked very closely with her and knew the district, I think, pretty well, so I decided to step into the race. 13 other Democrats decided to step into the
so
race, too.
It was a crowded race.
And one Republican, so I spent a lot of time knocking on doors throughout 2014.
Yeah. Well, how do you like it?
I like it a lot. It's very nice to help people. It's rewarding to see when you drive down the street and see an area, and I have one in mind where there was no sidewalk down a street where a lot of people walk to the grocery store, and now there's a sidewalk there. So every time I drive by and I see somebody walking down that sidewalk instead of a danger street, that makes me feel good. It's nice to help people about those kind of things. And there are a few issues that I'm trying to advance. One of them is affordable housing in the community, where we have a big need. So I've focused a lot of attention on that, and my district has always been very environmentally conscious, so I work a lot on sustainability issues, too. And I enjoy it.
All right. Well, great. Well, appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today on the Rusty Satellite Show, and we'll be paying attention.
Well, thanks very much.
And I'm back with Mary Ann Zicker, my guest co-host for the week. How did you like, wasn't Bill Hollander cool?
Bill Hollander is a great man, a man among men.
There you go. Well, we've had a lot of fun here in the studio, and it's so much more fun when I have a guest co-host than when, I bet it's fun for the listeners, too.
I love it.
To listen to just me.
Third time. Do I get a prize for being so, three times?
I'm going to give you a ticket to the 200th show party that we'll be having in about 9 weeks.
Yes. Yes. And I know that'll be a throwdown with all the people you know.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a blast. So the other folks I'm certainly going to invite are the people who helped me as sponsor of the show. My friends at Passport Health Plan will be there.
I need some of that.
They're all great. And my friends at the Eye Care Institute, where you can learn about...
Get the LASIK.
The problem, the LASIK, but the dry eye disease. If you got that, you can go down there and help them. 502-589-1500 is the Eye Care Institute. So this weekend we're doing Seinfeldia.
Yada, yada, yada.
I guess that's the whole thing. I mean, that's the whole weekend. I'm going to Actors on Friday. You are, too.
You're the house manager. We'll be there together.
So, man, what a fun place this is we live. We got all these things to do.
It really is kind of amazing if you think about it.
Yeah. Last night I went to for Eat, Drink, Talk, I went to Mercato Italiano out in Norton Commons. Ever been out there?
Yummy.
You haven't been there?
I have heard a lot about that place.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They're starting lunch next week. I wrote a story about that on eatdrinktalk.net, the website. In addition to the podcast, there's a lot of great stories that Steve Coombs and I put together on eatdrinktalk.net. You know what else I do?
What else?
Run LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
I knew that. I'm on the pulse of your pulse of the city.
So we do that. We do a lot of stories on there, too. So if you want to stay informed about what's going on culturally and what's hip and happening in Louisville, those are the places to go.
I want to apply to be your co-pilot.
Okay. I need one. It doesn't pay.
Well, if it gets me food and drink and maybe some LASIK.
Some dental service.
And yes, yeah. Get some white.
I do want to mention once again Dr. Sean Moore, who was on the show this week.
Great
He's
guy.
He's going to tag along and help us out as a sponsor for a little while. So I appreciate that from Dr. Moore, and I can't wait to go to St. Kitts with him, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. Well, we need to do some more interviews there. You'll need a co-host.
That's exactly right. All right, Marianne. Well, it's been a lot of fun, and thanks for telling me about Sunfeldia. That's going to be a great event that you put together. It's really awesome.
I'm pretty excited about it. Thanks for letting me come hang out.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.